Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
I got a basic question for you. Following the S&P Composite Index, if you were to absolutely have just invested in that, if you'd started even after World War II and just stayed with it, would not you have had a better return overall? And why not do that in the future?
I think you should. The S&P 500 has done very, very well. And it will probably do so in the future.
Invest Talk. Over 36 million downloads and counting. Across America and around the world. Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021. And of course, the Thanksgiving holiday is only 2 days away. 2 days. My favorite holiday. And of course, I don't know about you, but we always have family over our house for Thanksgiving, and this year it's going to be a little small. I think we're only going to have like 14 this year. Remember, my wife has 9 brothers and sisters. I have 4 brothers, but only 2 are left. The other 2 passed away. But then you add in the nieces and nephews, and you get a pretty big crowd. And we invite friends, some friends who family are too far away or whatever. So it can get hit pretty big. I think our record is like 67 people. That was really a lot of fun. Okay, but you know, regardless, after the holiday, you need to refocus on creating and securing your own financial future. Enjoy the holiday, but don't, you know, you're going to have to go right back to it. You got a portfolio to grow and protect. You got to build it. Build it carefully. And so on this show, radio podcast, and podcast, we're here to help. That's what we're here for. But if you want to answer specifically on specific situations or issues, you got to call. I would love to hear from you. Everybody has specific situations for them. And some of them, you know, some of it might be because you're worried. You know, you've been burned before and you're worried you can't afford to be burned again. I understand that. That does happen, and it has happened, and I've been burned before in certain investments I made. And if you ever want to hear about them, I'll be happy to share that. But, you know, you still have to work at it. You got to secure your financial future. So on today's program and podcast, we'll help you. We want to help you, so give me a call. Our mission statement, independent thinking and shared success. And, of course, we state this right up front because this is our assurance to you that we will give you all the information we have, as much information as we can gather in a short period of time without bias and give it to you, just the facts. You know, it means our market reporting, our process explanations, our educational segments, and of course, our stock commentary, you know, all of it without bias, without a prejudice of any kind, as factual as we can provide. I'm Steve Peasley, and I encourage you to give me a call. You can contact me right now with any and all investment questions, anything about finances, anything about money, we can talk about it. And when you do that, you can guide the show in the direction you want to. So give me a call. And if you've never called, why don't do it now? You can get on, and there's no reason. There's no question that you can ask that other people out there would ask. So everybody has questions, no matter how simple you might think it is. Other people probably need the answer to that question too. So please call. The number is 888-99-CHART. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And so you can call that number right now, 888-992-4278. So let's go ahead and get right to the first listener line question.
Hey, this is Andrew from Atlanta. I was trying to call about ticker symbol MGY. That's Magnolia Oil and Gas. I see that there's the buy-to-sell ratio on the TD Ameritrade platform. It's like 4-0. If you could take a look at the financials to let me know if you think this would be a good stock to maybe take a position with. We like the show so much. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, appreciate the call. I do. This is a symbol MGY, Magnolia Oil and Gas Corporation, Class A shares. Engaged in the exploration and production of oil and gas in the Eagle Ford Shale and Austin Chalk in South Texas. Okay, so they're in Texas. They're out of Houston. They're going to make $2.35 this year after making only 2 cents last year. And then $2.44 next year, up a little bit more. Sales growth have been 134% in the most recent quarter. Before that, it was 203% for that quarter. Then 14% the quarter before that. And then shrinkage for 4 quarters in a row before that. So it's kind of, you know, their sales and earnings are kind of erratic. And that's why it's fairly cheap, because it's only a $19.80 stock. So that tells you that the PE is, what, 7? Now, probably 8. 8 PE. And the range is 4 to 403. So it's very risky. Pays no dividend. I don't like that. It has a modest amount of debt. Mutual funds have been buyers, pretty strong buyers in the last year. So it's a decent company. It's had a big run. I'd probably wait for a pullback, a decent size pullback. I mean, it has pulled back a little bit from 22 down to 1980, but I think I would probably wait till around 16, 17 before I would enter this stock. Okay? MGY. Okay, my focus point today concerns a particular story, how to protect your portfolio from inflation. How do you do that? So we're going to talk about that. Other topics we are going to discuss, hopefully, if we don't get a lot of callers, because callers come first. Holiday travel at 2019 levels. Man, that means it's going to be bad this weekend. Biden to release 500 million gallons, barrels of oil from oil reserve. Is that a lot? And he's got an agreement with China, India, South Korea, Japan, and Britain also to release oil from their strategic reserve. Is that enough? Is that a lot? What will that do? And is the bull running out of steam? Is the bull market ending? Oh, is it? Do you know? Do I know? No one really knows for sure, by the way. There's no one who knows for sure. But we'll talk about what some of the signs are and decide that. The market itself, the Dow was up 195 points today. So that, you would feel, okay, good, the market was up. No, the Dow was up. The Nasdaq was down 80. And the S&P was down up 6. Up 6 for the S&P, down 80 for Nasdaq, and up 195 for the Dow. That should kind of give you a hint that the tech stocks are struggling, because the Nasdaq is full of the big tech stocks, right? The S&P 500 is too, but, you know, it's got a bunch of other kind of companies as well. So we'll see. My trivia question today concerns a household debt. That will be coming up about the halfway mark. Household debt. Okay, and I'll have a question about it. How did the market do? Well, as I said, it was mixed. It seemed like the commodity section is probably holding up pretty well, and I think it will continue to do so. We're heading into a break. Dave from Toronto, hang on. You'll be next on Invest Talk.
The calendar. We are into November and on our way to Thanksgiving and then Christmas. But now you've got finance and investment questions. Steve and Justin welcome your calls. Invest Talk 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to go right to Dave in Toronto. Hi, Dave.
Hi, this is Sid, not Dave.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
My name is
Hi, Sid.
Okay. Hi, Steve. Happy holidays. Good
Thank
evening.
You too.
Thanks for taking the call. I have questions regarding the ticker symbol WY. Where is your company? Current price is $38.54. It's in my radar for quite some time. Fundamentally, it looks good. And I'm just looking for a good entry point. What is your opinion about this ticker symbol? Thank you so much, Dave, for your time.
Okay, this is Weyerhaeuser, WY Weyerhaeuser. It's a REIT, real estate investment trust, that owns and controls 14.1 million acres of long-term value timberlands and manufactures wood products. Okay, so timberland, you know, 20 years to grow those trees, you know, at the minimum. Okay, so they're going to make, in 2021, the estimate for this year is $3.32 a share, but that's pretty, that's extremely unusual, extremely. Next year, they're going to only make $1.88 a share, so it's going right back down to where it was. Sales have been pretty good, but I think you're too late to enter this stock. Remember, we're talking about housing, we're talking about wood, and what's used most wood is home construction. And it's right near its high, around $40 or so. So I wouldn't even consider picking it up until it got down to at least 30. But I don't think I'd buy this at this time. I think you're at the peak of the housing market. Therefore, the peak of the timber market is already in, and we know that because it was very expensive a year ago. Wood was very expensive. Prices have come down sharply. And you can tell their projected earnings are going to go from $3.32 down to $1.88. That's not a good scenario. You don't like that. So, you know, it's got to, as I said, it's got to be around $30 or so at the very, you know, before I even consider it. And even then, depends on where we are in the cycle when it got there. I'd have to check that out. Just my opinion. Dave, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jamie in Palo Alto.
Yeah, Steve, I was calling about Disney. Uh-huh. I see it's in a downtrend, and I was looking for a price point.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good one to pick up as, you know, when it's in this downtrend. I think Disney's one of those companies, you know, we all know what they make. They have three major drivers of earnings. Theme parks, which is, by the way, the biggest. Okay, and of course, we all know about COVID and how that shut them down and how they're struggling to reopen, and we all know that. Theme parks, movies, which also was severely affected, right? And Disney Plus or TV. Those are three main drivers. And the price has come down. I mean, it was 203 a couple years ago, okay, just before COVID hit. Recent highs have been about 187, and it's at 151 now. It's been coming down steadily. I think it's going to find a lot of support around 135 to 140, and that's where I think you put your buy point in. Okay, because that's what it was back in late 2019, early 2020, and it bounced. Okay, so I think that's where it might stop. Okay, and that might be a great place to pick it up. Because, you know, we're talking about Disney. It's not going anywhere. It certainly is not going anywhere. Okay, they're going to make $4.25 a share this year. That's double than it was last year. And then $5.77 in 2023. That's the projections. So it's $151 stock, so it's not necessarily cheap. It's not. So you just got to wait. You got to be patient. Be a little patient, Jamie. You can get it. You can pick it up. And it's one of those companies you buy cheap and you just hold on to it. When people take the time to leave an InvestTalk podcast review on iTunes, we like to thank them for their courtesy by getting to their questions quickly. So let me get to one. The Puma 51, Puma. Visa has been going downward for a little while, and I was curious if you think it will get back on track. Yes, it will. You know, Visa, everybody, provides global payment solutions in support of the credit and debit payment programs of financial institutions. I don't think it's that weak, really. I don't think it's fallen that far. Bounced today, 198. So it looks like about Looks like it's hitting some pretty good support, 195 area, 192, somewhere in there. That's where the support comes in. And the earnings are strong. Just it's been pricey. It's been very expensive. This has been very durable, very consistent with their earnings. That's why. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. And for the investors, the need to remain vigilant will never end. So if you have portfolio questions, this is the time to call. We're taking your calls live right now, 888-99-CHART.
Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck because Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Mike in Livermore. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Awesome. Real quick, I have one question on two things. Penn National Gaming, PENN, and Activision Blizzard, ATBI, seem to be going through the same thing. CEO problems, have to get rid of them, or, you know, that's what they're going to look like. And they took a big hit. I have positions in both. And I'd like to add to them, if you feel that I feel they're kind of at the bottom, and they're going through the same thing, and kind of the same stock, gaming and they're both going through the same problem. Is that related? They're both going to kind of end the same?
Well, they're very different. Well, there are very different sectors. Penn is very different than Activision. Activision, you know, is publisher of entertainment, software entertainment, right? Penn is more into, gaming. Operating 41 right. gaming properties. So they're pretty different. Now, the cause of the weakness with the CEO issue could be the same. And whenever I see that with a CEO and the company's fundamentally strong, but the stock is getting beat up, I look for a place to get in, not a place to get out. And I hope I don't already own them because I got to take a beating, but I still want to get in, buy some more because, you know, the companies are very, very strong. But they're very different companies. So, for instance, Penn is going to make $2.82 this year after it lost $5 last year, and then $2.42 next year. So its estimates are not that strong, and it's a $51 stock. I think Activision, ATVI, which is, of course, very different, has much better sales growth going forward. And it's going to make $3.81 this year after $3.21 last year. So I think, I think Penn looks, Activision looks more attractive to me. But it doesn't have support unless you go way back to 2018, early 2019. And where that was is in the mid to high 40s. And it's at 61 now. So I'm wondering how low is low? You know, how far down will it go? So I think you need to watch a chart. When you see some strength come back, then you might enter it. But right now, you don't have any of that strength. Nothing. So it's still weak. I mean, it's still very, very weak. Relative strength to the S&P 500, it's at 10, which is really low. So it's going to bounce. We just don't know where from. That would be my choice, Activision, of the two. Okay, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Okay, my focus point today concerns a story, how to protect the portfolio from inflation. Okay, so we all worried about inflation. We know inflation is a problem. The Fed seems to be the least person that should be worried about, but they're not. They think it's going to steady, flatten out. But they've been saying that for well over a year, and it hasn't so far. And I do think we've seen a peak. I do think that. But I think it's going to settle out at a much higher level than they think. I think it's going to settle out between 4.5%, which is a lot higher than our average, long-term average, which is 3.3, something like that. So how do you deal with, no one listening to the show, well, some of us old-timers do. probably have dealt with inflation. What happens? What should we? What position should we buy with inflation? Well, if you do enough reading, you'll know there's certain sectors that do well in an inflationary environment. Okay, and we talked about them on this show. Of course, you could do a direct hedge against inflation. That would be TIPS, Treasury Inflated Inflation Protected Securities. You can buy TIPS if you want to be very conservative and still stay ahead of inflation, and that should do it. It won't return you much, but, you know, it's still inflation hedge. Commodities is a hedge, inflation hedge. Usually commodities, and you hold up and do very well in inflationary times. So I think that's one of the things you could. And there are equity hedges, you know, there are ETFs and stocks that, you know, will buck the trend. Bank stocks are usually pretty good, you know, so, and of course, gold is, you know, it hasn't done anything this year, but generally it's a pretty good inflation hedge. So those are the kinds of things that you can do. Now, even your inflation hedge, you can have very, very conservative inflation hedges like TIPS, or you can get pretty darn aggressive with inflation hedges, just like any part of the stock market. You just have to decide where you want to be. Okay? Nobody likes debt, right? I don't like that. I hate debt. But most people have some amount of debt on their household ledger. Most people do. So as we go to break, here's my trivia question. What do you suppose was the amount of the U.S. household debt at the end of 2020? And for the 2020 pandemic year, did the credit card delinquency rate decrease or increase? The 2020 pandemic year, did credit card debts, credit card delinquency rate decrease or increase? At the break, I'll supply the answer, but for now, my phone lines are open, and I encourage you to give me a call. 888-99-CHART.
I wanted to see if you thought that was a safer place to park the money for long term.
Good advice. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
Of all the finance and investing podcasts and all the downloads in all the world, you've discovered InvestTalk.
At this time, do you think it would be better to keep it in this bond or move it to cash?
Looks like the sector is down today, so just thinking about, you know, potentially buying the dip.
And since InvestTalk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are committed to answering your questions with their unique blend of expert insight and unbiased guidance, you've got to ask yourself one question. Why haven't you called InvestTalk?
Hey, it's James from Australia. I'm loving the podcast.
You know you listen. You know you should call. You know you want to call.
So I was wondering the best options for long-term growth.
You'll get a reliable answer and the same positive feeling that tens of thousands of InvestTalk callers have already experienced.
Thank you so much. I love the show.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART. No two portfolios are alike, and every investor has a unique set of circumstances. The best way to get answers that correspond with your situation is for you to submit your questions to Steve Peasley and Justin Klein. The 24-hour listener line never closes, so don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Okay, before the break, I had a trivia question. What do you suppose was the amount of U.S. household debt at the end of 2020? And for the 2020 pandemic year, did the credit card delinquency rate go up or go down? Okay. 2020 was a strange year, right? A pandemic year. So on one hand, many Americans were suddenly out of job. On the other hand, expenses on many items declined. Remember how oil went down to like $19 a barrel? So it was a strange year. Still, according to the report by the Federal Reserve, in 2020, household debt hit $14.6 trillion. That's trillion with a T. That was an increase of $414 billion. Increase of $414 billion. And mortgage debt passed over $10 trillion for the first time ever. An increase of $486 billion during the 2020. During 2020. About the debt. I mean, the credit card delinquencies. Nationwide, the credit card delinquency rate decreased 4% in October 2020 from 5.92% in February 2020. So before, it was 5.92, afterwards, 4. So delinquency went down, even though everybody was out of a job. Interesting, huh? Now, across all states, credit card delinquency rates on accounts 30-plus days in arrears range from about 2.65 to 6.73%. States with highest poverty rates and a higher share of people without medical insurance, the uninsured rate, tend to have higher credit card delinquency rates and lower credit card scores. Just for some background information. Let's go to Robin in Florida. How you doing, Robin?
Doing well, Steve. Enjoy your podcast. I get it, my podcast. Try to listen to it regularly, but you got a basic question for you. Following the S&P composite index, if you were to absolutely have just invested in that, you know, from the beginning, actually you started in 1900, but if you'd started even after World War II and just stayed with it, would not you have had a better return overall? You're getting the 500 stock index. You're getting a actual return because some of those pay dividends. Why wouldn't that not have been a Monday morning quarterback policy to have followed? And why not do that in the future?
I think you should. Don't think I. You're right. The S&P 500 has done very, very well. Okay, over that time, and it will probably do so in the future. It probably will. But this is the problem with that. You know, I've always been a believer of that, Robin. This is the problem. People can't do it. Why can't they? They're emotional. They will look at it drop 50% like it did in 2008 or 37% like it did in the COVID. And they look at that and they get out right at the bottom. Then once it recovers, they get back in. That means they can't perform as the S&P 500 because they got out and then they waited a while it was rallying to get back in. Many times they'll wait 6 months, a year after it started rallying, then get back. It's been proven over and over and over again that that's what people do. In their mind, logic, common sense tells them not to do it, but they still do it. And I'm not talking about people are not educated. I'm talking about educated people. People are smart. Business people, people have been in the market for a long time. They still do it. Now, not everybody, right, Robin? But that's why it's not. That's why people's performance. Look at their 401k's performance over 20 years, and you'll find how bad it is. And that's because they get out and they get in. They get out and get in, always at the wrong time. So you're right. Now we just got to convince people to stick with it. Okay, Robin?
Appreciate it. Thank you very much for that insight. Do you all participate in that? Is that part of your overall stock strategy, equity strategy?
Yeah, we will moderate what we buy. For instance, we've been leaning on for the last year commodities, but that doesn't mean we get out of our tech stocks or we don't mean we get out of our other stocks. We might cut back, but we stay with the market. Stay with the market. Okay, and that's how you do it. You don't, can you get out or go, try to time it? Doesn't work, but you can always hedge, and of course you can have, if you want to be a very conservative person, there's investments and programs we have for that. If you want to be aggressive, there's programs we have for that. So it depends on who you are and what you want to do. For instance, if you're close to retirement, and this is the money you can't risk. You don't be in the market fully in the market. You'd be in the market, but not fully. Okay. So yeah, that's why you have a manager to help you with that. Okay. Robin, appreciate it. Good question though. I've had that question every so often, but you're right. Stick with the market, but people can't do it. I wish they could. Wish they could. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is our number. Holiday travel on 2019 levels is what we're doing now. We're back to 2019, before COVID, back. That's about $2 million travelers a day. This is, of course, according to TSA. 20 million passengers from 11/19 to 11/28, the Thanksgiving holiday period. There's going to be 500,000 are expected to travel on Sunday alone. That would be a record. The previous record, over 550,000, I'm sorry, 550,000. The previous record was 516,000. It's back, and I feel sorry for those people who are going to try to travel because the traffic is back, but the airlines and the rental cars, I don't think they're fully staffed and have fully enough flights and seats, and we're hearing about they can't keep the people or have enough workers. And, you know, it's going to be a mess. I think it's going to be a mess. I hope not, but, man, I'm glad I never travel on this weekend. Never. No. No. I have Thanksgiving at my house, and people come to my house, but most of my people are local. They just drive. Drive home, eat, get stuffed, and head back. Then we always say what we're thankful for. We go around, put a big circle, and everybody goes around one by one to say what they are thankful for this last year. And sometimes it gets kind of emotional. I teared up a little bit last year, just a little last year. But, I mean, sometimes it can get pretty emotional. But I tell you what, it feels good afterwards. It does. 888-99-CHART. Let's swing back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier from a listener in Alabama.
Hello, this is Zach from Atlanta, Georgia, and I was calling about a ticker symbol JAMF. Justin recently talked about it on the show, and it recently just had a big drop, and I was wondering if this might be a good time to get into it or what you think. Thank you, and I'll listen for your answer on the podcast.
Okay, that was my engineer's fault. He's a little rusty on geography, apparently. Georgia is not Alabama. Anyways, JAMF Holding Corporation. It's a $3.7 billion company. Standard in Apple Enterprise Management and cloud software platform for infrastructure and security. So it's a standard, for management software, cloud software. I kind of like that area, by the way. It's a fairly new company. It only came out in September, maybe August in 2020. So it's not that old. They make money. 2020, they made 12 cents a share. 2021, 14 cents a share. And this year, they're going to make 21 cents a share. The sales growth is in the mid-30s and been very consistent for 2 years in the mid-30s. That means that growth, that consistency means it's very pricey. It's $31.78, only going to make 21 cents a share. But you figure, well, if it keeps growing at 35% a quarter every quarter, yeah, well, the growth rate, if it stays that way, will do very well. But the return on equity is only 2%. That's very low. Mutual funds are buyers. I mean, I like the stock. I don't like the price. Too expensive for me. And I'll tell you what, the price has come down from $50 down to $31.78. So you would say, well, no, it's really low prices. Back down to $31. It's lower than its IPO price. What a bargain. No, it was always expensive. It was expensive from when it went out the gate. When it IPO'd, initial public offering, was very expensive. One of my issues we have is people look at the current conditions we've seen in the prices versus earnings for a lot of tech companies, and it's been so elevated so long, people think it's normal. Now, you could say, well, it's been normal the last 10 years. Yeah, I agree, last year. But you go back in time, it's not normal. It's very expensive. So then I'm going to get this argument, well, that's because you just don't know about tech, and you don't understand the new economy where this huge sales growth is coming all over the place. Yeah. I don't understand. You know, I heard those same exact arguments in 1999, just before the collapse of the dot-com in 2000. Oh, you don't understand. It's a new paradigm. It's a new way to do business. Uh-huh. You still have to make a certain amount of money on your business, and you have to make a certain amount of money to justify a stock price, no matter what you say, over long periods of time. I don't care. It's going to revert to norms at some point. I don't know when, but it will. Okay, with Thanksgiving arriving on Thursday, a lot of folks have their mind off investing. Okay, I understand that. You can take some days off. That's okay. But it doesn't mean you can afford to let your guard down for very long. So, and you know, on almost every podcast, I mention what we do at KPP Financial, Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. We are based in Irvine, California. That's in Orange County, in Southern California, between San Diego County and L.A. County. Here we practice independent thinking, share success. And what does that mean? We provide unbiased guidance. We practice parallel investing, meaning I buy the same thing for me, John and Justin, for ourselves as we do for our clients. We want to be on board with our clients. We have a number of strategies we use, five to be specific, and I'm in each one of them. So I try to be as honest and fair a straight shooter as I can, and how I think I do that is make sure I invest in, alongside my client. So if you want to take a look at your portfolio, I'd be happy to do that. Go to investtalk.com, click on contact us, send me an email, we'll be doing that. We'll be in contact. We like to help you. We want to help you. You don't have to become a client. We'll still help you if you had questions. That's what the show is all about, too, helping. Let's go to Bill in Northern California.
Hi, Steve. Good afternoon.
Thanks for the call.
Nice to talk to you again. Thank you. So I've had this position in Freeport MacFran for quite a while. I actually held it at a loss for some time and waiting for the recovery, and you know, it's been doing really gangbusters in the last year. What do you think of it going forward, with the economy and everything?
I think it has one more decent run in it. This is Freeport MacMoran, everybody, FCX, because I think commodities have a ways to go, and this one, it's all about gold. It's a engaged in exploration, development, and copper and gold, silver. You know, in Indonesia, in mines they have in Indonesia, North and South America, it's a pretty big company, $56 billion. Their earnings, sales have been growing 50 to 60 to 80% in the last few quarters, per quarter. They're going to make $3.09 this year and $3.53 next year. It's a $38 stock. So I think it's still very reasonable, and I would hold on to it at this point. Now, the recent high, you saw that recent high it had, Bill?
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. You're looking to see, and that was $46.10, by the way. That was a recent high, and you're hoping that it'll break that. It's a 38.68. If it breaks that, you got to just keep going. If it gets up to the mid 40s and starts to hesitate, that would make me a little bit nervous. Okay. But I think it's going to go back there. I really do. Bill, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Good luck with it. FCX is the symbol, everybody. FCX. Okay. Biden to release 500 million barrels of oil of the reserve, the oil reserve that we have in the United States. And he agreed with other countries, China, India, South Korea, Japan, and Britain, to also release some of their oil reserves. They're trying to get the price of oil down. Now, they're doing it because Saudi Arabia and OPEC have been kind of deaf, blind, and dumb to request to increase production. But I'll tell you this: I don't think they have much increase of production left in them. I think they're almost at maximum now. I don't think they have the abilities to pump more out. But you know, what do I know? I just don't think they do because, you know, historically I've looked at their productions and they're pretty high. What we need is more supply. You know, we could provide that here in the United States if the government was friendly to that idea, but they're not. So we're telling Middle East to pump more oil when we could do it ourselves. That, well, by the way, that 500 million plus those other countries is a drop in a bucket. Not enough to really going to make an impact. Notice the prices of oil, barrel oil, went up today after that announcement. On the next Invest Talk, we're going to talk about different things. I can't get to it. We're too short. 888-99-CHARTER is my number.
The markets react to uncertainty. Are you prepared? Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Your financial future depends on the answers to those questions. Steve Peasley is here now, and he's ready to talk with you. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. George calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Just have a question for ticker symbol NIO, NIO, Chinese electric car company. I have around 75 positions of it that I've been dollar cost averaging. Just wondering what you guys think about it and where do you guys think it will go. Thank you. Love the show. Bye.
Okay, before I answer that, my program director corrected me. I thought I said 50 million, but apparently it said 500 million. It's 50 million barrels of oil that's going to be released. And by the way, just so you know, as I said, that's a drop in a bucket because the world uses 97 million barrels a day. So this is just nothing compared to what's needed. Anyways, let's answer his question. It's NIO, N-I-O is the symbol, everybody. And it's a Chinese company manufactures, sells electric vehicles, parts, as well as provides battery and charging services, that kind of thing. They lose money, have been losing money for since they existed. They're going to lose 16 cents a share next year. That's an improvement after losing 66 cents this year. Sales growth is 128% in the most recent quarter, 149% the quarter before that, 529% before that. But their sales is about $1.5 billion a quarter. Okay? So, what's that? That's, what, $6 billion a year? And it's a $65 billion company. Okay. To give you a little perspective, let's look at GM. What's their market cap? $91 billion, and they do $26 billion a quarter. Remember, NIO does $1.5 billion. Now, the reason why it is because it's an electric vehicle. Everybody's in love with that sector, right? And there's reasons for it. You know, we're going to have a lot more electric vehicles out there, so there's reasons. I don't think I'd buy it at this price, $42 a share, because it's way too high for the amount of money they make. But I said that during Tesla's explosive growth time period too. It's just too expensive for me, and I never bought Tesla. And, of course, would have been smart to do that. But remember, this is also a Chinese company. So the transparency is not very good there in the Chinese company. So you have to take your chances if you think it's going to work, great, happy for you. Not for me, though. Not for me. Mutual funds are slowly buying it over the last year. They've been buying it. NIO is a symbol, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Is the bull run running out of steam? Is this bull move by the market that we've had from since what, 2009? Well, from 2009 to 2020, just before the COVID crash, which ended the bull run because it was down 37%, the market, that was the longest bull run in history. Okay, longest. T. Rowe Price sees a less robust future, a less robust returns going forward. He thinks the central banks will start to implement tightening. Now, of course, you've heard that from me and Justin. We've been saying that for months now, that's what we've peaked at the loosening. This is record loosening. And now we know starting, this month, November, the Federal Reserve is starting to stop buying as much bonds as they were before, reduce the amount of purchases. I do. I say reduce, not stop completely. So they're still easing. Technically, this is still easing. It's just easing less. In other words, putting less money in the system than it was before. I mean, you talk about, and it's just very small incremental move at this stage. And they have said flat out they're going to let inflation run. So it's going to run for a while. But they believe it's going to settle down. And they believe it's going to settle down before the end of the year. And that's not going to happen. I think they're totally wrong on that. Now they're saying it'll be sometime next year. Well, settle down to what? I think it's peak two, but it ain't going to go back to 2.5%. That's not happening. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about the free podcast downloads. Okay? Get your free downloads anytime on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. And remember, if you take the time to leave a brief question give us a review on iTunes, if you take the time to do that, we'll answer any question, any financial question right away. So do that. Independent thing and share success. This is the best talk. Enjoy your evening, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.